Well, here we are just a few days away from celebrating Christmas, and people are going to be giving, receiving, opening gifts of all kinds. And American Express some years ago did a survey about Christmas gifts. And one of the questions they asked was, which gift was the worst gift to receive? What do you think it was? Fruitcake was number one. Yeah. What was even funny about that is it finished ahead of no gift at all. Now, I know there's some who like fruitcake, so this is not a mark against you, all right? eBay, along with Harris Interactive, did a survey, and they found that 47% of adults re-gift unwanted Christmas gifts. And even though 47% do it, 69% believe it's acceptable to do that. So I guess that's always an out. Well, this morning, I want to talk about the gift of Christmas. And I want to look at three kinds of gifts that will probably be given this Christmas season. Three kinds of gifts that can be given at Christmas time. And compare each gift to the gift that God gave, the gift of Christmas. Our passage is John chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verses 16 through 18. John 3:16 is one of the most popular verses in the Bible, but we typically don't associate that passage with the Christmas story. And yet, these verses share that God is the one who started this whole activity of giving in the first place when He gave the gift of Christmas. And so let's read John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him, talking about that gift, Jesus Christ, whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's only begotten Son. Now, we know that Jesus is the gift of Christmas. But what kind of gift was He? And that's what we're going to unpack this morning. Pun intended, all right? Hopefully you'll follow along with an outline. One kind of gift that can be given at Christmas time, and write this down, is what I'm calling a gift gift. A gift gift. And that's simply a gift for a gift. We get a gift from someone, and a lot of times it's kind of unexpected, and we feel the need then to give them a gift in return. So much so, we'll even try to figure out about how much the gift they gave us was worth so that we can at least give a gift in return that is, if not equal, at least similar in value. What's kind of interesting is how this feeds a lot of cash registers at the last minute as people received a gift they weren't expecting and they've got to go out and get a gift in return, or that's what really will boost sales at Amazon.com or some other online website that you can order through. But what if God's gift of Christmas was a gift gift? Well, the first thing that we would have to do would be to determine the value of God's gift. And we know from these verses, God gave us His only begotten Son. So what kind of price tag can be placed on Jesus Christ? How do you value Him? Look at some of the description of Jesus from these verses. Colossians chapter 1 says that Christ is exactly like God, superior to all creation. Everything was created by Him and for Him. He was before all else, and by Him everything is held together. What kind of value do you place on someone like that? Look at the next verse. Hebrews 1 says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's being. Now, we know that when God gave us the gift of His Son, He basically gave us Himself. That's why the name Emmanuel was using God with us. And in essence, what God gave us was perfection. I mean, Jesus Christ was walking perfection, is perfection. And so I want you to write this down. If it were a gift that God gave, we then would have to give back to God a perfect and flawless life. I mean, if we're ever going to receive the gift, we would then have to return a similar gift, one of perfection. And yet, all of us knows how many messes does it take to mess up perfection? You know, how many pins does it take to burst the balloon? You know, just one. And I think I'm safe to say, I'm not the only one in this boat, but I think I'm safe in saying that there's not anyone in here that's only made one mess, but multiple messes. And so there's no way that we could give back to God a life of similar or equal value to Christ. And here's the thing, no one would ever give a gift to someone if they knew that that someone could not give a gift in return. And so we can conclude, since it tells us here that God did in fact give his gift, that the gift of Christmas, hallelujah, is not a gift. Because if it had been, there's none of us that could have received it. Because there's none of us that could have given back to God what he gave to us in his Son. And so thanks be to God. The gift of Christmas is not a gift. A second kind of gift that can be given at Christmas time, and write this down, is a favor gift. Now, this is kind of like a gift. Instead, though, you give a gift for a favor. I mean, some people don't necessarily want a gift in return. They just want you to do something for them in return. I mean, after all, look at what they gave you. Now, sometimes, this one kind of goes two ways. Sometimes we may not even realize that we've been given a favor gift until we do something, or maybe don't do something, that the person who gave it wanted. And then they're upset with us. Because, I mean, look at what they gave us. Sometimes, though, on the other side of that, without realizing it, we can actually give a favor gift to someone. Maybe didn't intend to, but after we've given it to that someone, that someone does something to disappoint us, and we can quickly think about, I can't believe they did it after what I gave them. And at that point, without realizing it, we gave a favor gift. Now, there are those that are intentional about this, and those who do give favor gifts, they keep score. I mean, they're very much aware of what they've given, and they're very much aware of the favors that's been done in return. It's kind of interesting. Companies do this every year, especially at Christmas time. They may call it a year-end bonus, or some of them may give a turkey or a ham. They're not wanting you to give a turkey in return, but they are expecting you to work a little harder, possibly, at your job, to do a little better in the coming year. And so what they actually gave you at that point was a favor gift. Well, what if God's gift of Christmas to us was a favor gift? Well, the first thing is there'd be a score to settle. I want you to write this down. It would be expected for us to pay God back, and to pay him back with adequate favors, with either doing the right things or making sure we don't do the wrong things. Now, you think about this, not only would this make God a very manipulative God, one who really, if he ever does anything, he's got ulterior motives, he's trying to get something out of us if he ever gives something to us, but the bigger issue is what favor would God want in return? I mean, what can we do in return in order to receive his gift of Christmas if it were, in fact, a favor gift? Well, unfortunately, it gets back to the issue of perfection. A life without mistakes. I mean, if God's gift were a favor gift, then for us, we would have to give back to him a flawless life again. One that doesn't make mistakes. One that doesn't sin anymore. And yet, I've yet to meet a person who doesn't sin anymore. And that includes myself. And yet, that's what we're told in the Bible. Look at these verses. 1 Kings chapter 8. King Solomon here, they're dedicating the temple. They're bringing in the Ark of the Covenant. He's praying on behalf of the people, and he's reminding them of their stubborn heart. He says, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, you become angry with them. And then look what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He says, there's not a single person in all the earth who's always good and never sins. Well, if God's favor gift had been given, none of us could receive it. And therefore, God would not give a favor gift because he would know that there's no one who can do enough to pay him in return. And so again, it's safe to conclude, thanks be to God, that his gift of Christmas was not a favor gift because he has in fact given us a gift. Well, there's also a third kind of gift that can be given. Write this down. And that is simply a grace gift. A grace gift. This is a non-repayable gift. And the reason is you can't give a gift of equal or even similar value in return because a grace gift really doesn't have monetary value. You're really not able to put a price tag on a grace gift. But you also can't make up for a grace gift by doing enough favors. There's nothing you could ever do in return to be able to pay back a grace gift. I mean, that's the greatest thing about a grace gift. Not only can you not pay it back, but it's not expected for you to pay it back because there's no way to pay it back. Well, what if God's gift of Christmas was a grace gift? Well, we wouldn't have to give to him a gift of equal value in return, nor would we have to jump through hoops making sure to give him in return a life without any mistakes, without any flaws, without any sin. I mean, one, there's not a price we can create to place on Jesus and all he's done, but two, there's not enough we could ever do in return to pay back all that Christ has done, because he was more than just born for us. He died for us. That's part of the gift. And yet, being a grace gift, we don't have to do anything in return. I mean, that's what makes God's grace gift so amazing. It's a totally undeserved gift. There's no one that deserves this gift. It's a gift without any strings attached. And that's hard for us to understand because we'll keep some kind of string attached, usually. And yet, God's gift was such a grace gift. There's no strings attached. There's really only one thing you can do with it, and write this down. The only thing you can do with a grace gift is receive it. That's all you can do. Accept it. Let it become yours. Look at these verses, John chapter 4. Jesus talking to the woman at the well, and if you remember the context, it's a woman that's been married 5 times, and the man she's with currently is not her husband, and Jesus is aware of it. And he first asks her for a drink of water, and she knew her situation, and she says, "Why are you talking to me?" And then he says this to her. He says, "If you only knew the gift God has for you, and who I am," basically Jesus saying, "I'm that gift, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." There for the asking, there to simply be received. Look at the next verse, Ephesians 2:8. "By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is a grace gift, but a grace gift has to be received, because it says in that passage, we receive it through faith. We have to initiate our faith to accept the gift that God has given. And then the last verse, 2 Corinthians 9, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You know, when we begin to just grasp a little bit the amazing grace of God that sent his son into this world, we realize there aren't words in our English vocabulary to describe adequately what God has given to us. It's a grace gift. But there's 3 observations I want to wrap up on in relation to a grace gift. Because quite honestly today, In our culture today, and even in a lot of churches today, they've misappropriated grace. They've made grace out to be something that God never intended and that the Bible, quite honestly, can't support. And we see that in these verses here in relation to the gift that God gave. The first observation is this, write this down. God's gift of Christmas is a universal gift. And what I mean by that is, it says clearly, He gave His gift to the whole world. Anyone can have God's gift of Christmas. There is no one who is outside the bounds of God's gift, because there's no one who is outside the bounds of God's grace. That means that no one is too evil. No one has gone too far. No one has done so much that God could never love them. That's what makes His grace so incredible. No one's disqualified in this. You see, since it's a grace gift, it doesn't really matter what a person has done in their life. God never gave His gift because of what we've done. If that were the case, He would have never given His gift. He has given His gift because it has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with Him. That's why we can't do enough to deserve it, which makes His grace all the more amazing that He would give this gift. Look at these verses. Romans chapter 8 says, God didn't spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. For everyone. Universal. John 6, for My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. It's the will of God for everyone to have this gift, to receive this gift. But there's a second observation to make, and it's this. God's gift of Christmas is an exclusive gift. And what I mean by that is that it's the only gift of its kind. Not only is there nothing else that God could ever give, because it says clearly He gave His only begotten Son, He has nothing else to give of equal value, but it also means that there isn't any other gift out there, outside of Christ, that can do what only God's gift can do for you. See, people, what that means is there is no other way. There are no multiple paths to God. There's only one, and it's Jesus Christ. Because it's an exclusive gift, a one of a kind. Look at these verses. Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else. Underline those three words, no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. If anyone ever begins to press you that you're being too narrow-minded, too legalistic, too hardened or callous to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, you just simply tell them, that's not my idea. That's what God said, and I choose to believe. The same book that tells me God loves me is the same book that tells me there is salvation in no one else. It's exclusive. Look at the next verse there from 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, for there's only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and people. He is the man, Christ Jesus. Paul puts it clear. I mean, not many would argue there's only one God, but he wants them to understand, just as you believe there's only one God, you've got to understand there's only one who is in between God and man, reconciling man to God, and it's Jesus Christ. It's an exclusive gift that God gave. And that brings me to the third observation. And write this down. God's gift of Christmas is not an optional gift. And that's what our passage is telling us. See, it means, for one, that this is a gift that every person needs. God's gift is for all mankind because all mankind needs this gift. Hear me. It's not only for those who like the idea of it, who prefer this. It's not only for those who think they need this gift. This is a gift for everyone. That's why the greatest offense a man can commit before God is to reject this gift because he gave it to all. And for someone to dare to think that they don't need this gift, for someone to think that I can take care of myself, for someone to think that I've not been that bad, is to fail not only to understand God's gift, but also God's grace. Because there is nothing that a man can do. That's why how we respond to the gift determines the result or the consequence. And what these verses are telling us is there's going to be a consequence. For those of us who accept this gift and receive this gift by faith, it tells us that we inherit eternal life. Heaven will be our home. The Bible's clear. Hallelujah. That's what that gift brings for us. But for every person who rejects this gift, then the consequence is being eternally separated from God in a real place the Bible calls hell. And people may say, well, I'm not rejecting him, but they've got to understand to not accept him is to reject him because he's already given the gift. It's not optional. He's already given it. Man already will determine whether they're going to receive or not. If they receive, there's eternal life. If they reject, there's eternal condemnation. That's what these verses are saying. Look at these verses here on the outline, John 3. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. In Hebrews 10, the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who the author is of the book of Hebrews. And he's writing, though, we know, to a Jewish audience. And they believe that there were a lot of Jews who came to believe in Jesus. He's been gone now from the scene. They've been pressed by family and friends to return back to Judaism. And so there were a lot of these Jews who were beginning to give up what they'd believed in Jesus and go back to Judaism. And so the writer of Hebrews writes this specifically for them, trying to help them to understand that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He's the Messiah, the Christ. There is no other. And look how startling his words are in this verse here. Hebrews 10:29. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who's treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? See, there's some people that want to think, well, I'm not that bad. And it's like, you don't understand bad. The worst thing a man can do is to reject the gift of Jesus Christ. They have no idea, in the eyes of God, how horrible for the created to tell the Creator, thanks but no thanks, I'm fine. To trample underfoot this incredible gift. You see, God's intent in giving the gift of Christmas is not so that we can have a wonderful event once a year. It's not so that we can have great stories that surround his birth, the wise men, the shepherds, the Virgin Mary, the manger. God's intent for giving this gift was for one reason, that this gift be received. After all, isn't that why you give a gift to anybody? You give it for it to be received. And for those of us who've received this gift, we celebrate Christmas. We know what it's all about. We get to live it all year long. But maybe this morning there's some that still struggle with this, some that are still trying to process, some that still want to think that they don't have to make that kind of decision today. And the only thing I would say, based on what we've read in these verses, is the Bible clearly says today is the day of salvation. And each person under the sound of my voice has that opportunity to receive this gift that God has given. And to not receive it is to reject this gift once more. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation to invite you to respond how God may be speaking to your heart and life. And whatever it is, our desire is for everyone to experience the greatest gift of all life. and that is Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, in a moment we're going to stand and sing. But if you're here and you've never received this gift, you've never personally invited Jesus Christ into your life to ask Him to forgive you for trying to live without Him, for ever thinking you could live without Him, to ask Him to come in and save you and be your Lord. This morning, we'd like for Christmas to become real, more real than ever before. For someone you need to pray with, I'll be standing here in the front. Or maybe for those who have received the gift, and I know this may apply to a lot, sometimes we begin to think that once we've received Jesus, we now have to do something to almost keep Jesus. We may not think we can lose Him, but somehow we can fear that God's going to get us. And yet that's what makes this gift even all the more amazing. He never gave you the gift of Jesus, expecting you from that point on to be perfect. It's still a grace gift from beginning to end. So whatever it is, if there's someone you need to pray with, I'll be standing in the front. I'd love to pray with you. Father, we thank You for the gift of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You for Your grace that has been extended to all of us and for the many in this place who've experienced Your grace by receiving Your gift, Jesus Christ. So God, there may be some this morning that have never received the gift. God, we pray that today might be that day. Have Your way with every heart and every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.